David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, I'm here with Scott Adams of Adams Consulting Firm. He is amazing when it comes to business consulting, and today he has a great idea that he wants to go over with you. It through his knowledge over the years and expertise, he wants to talk about business decisions and how to make the right business decisions and why it's such a key to building a strong, profitable business. So today, Scott is going to talk about decision-making and why it's so important to factor into your business. So Scott, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show. I love talking to you. You're just amazing when it comes to business and business growth. And you had mentioned quite a few things before the show that you thought was really important for business owners and entrepreneurs to really understand and grasp in order to grow and elevate to the next level and even 10x their business. You know, they have to really understand certain strategies and certain key components. Maybe you can tell everybody a little bit about yourself if they haven't heard any of your episodes and, you know, and what we're going to be talking about today, because I'm really excited.
Yeah, same here. Thanks, Stacey. It's great to be on the show again. Great to see you and have another wonderful conversation. As far as myself, so I'm CEO, founder of Adams Consulting Firm. I work in a couple different capacities. One being as a fractional COO to help companies navigate their respective spaces and to grow and scale accordingly, and also as a strategic advisor, again, kind of in the same avenues of things to really help them make sure they're making the right decisions and targeting the right market and going through that process so that they're very efficient in what they do and very informed in what they do. A lot of my focus these days is in kind of the healthcare, wellness, and sports tech space. But of course, these same principles we'll talk about today can be applied to really any other business. And I know we were talking a little bit before the show started, and it's one of the decision-making is one of those key aspects of every organization, whether it's a small business, medium-sized business, just starting, established. These decisions that you make every day really have an impact on everything from your budget to your revenue to how sustainable things are. So that's why I think this is an extremely important topic for us to cover and something I hear about. And even a lot of businesses don't think that they have an issue with decision making, but it really helps them go a long way. And as I work through them on different problems, a lot of times this really shows as the root of their overall problems from a company perspective.
What are some of the key components to decision making? Because I'm sure when you go into a business, you see some businesses struggling. You know, they're, you know, the way they look at decision making probably isn't the best way. So maybe you can go a little bit more into depth about decision making and you know what's important to know and what's not important and maybe some of the key elements of making good decisions.
Yeah, and I like to kind of, you know, it's all in the framework, right? So I like to go back to kind of the start and how you're thinking about your business and thinking about growing it exponentially from a 10x mindset. What that means is it's not just necessarily about growing things 10 times bigger. It's really about thinking 10 times bigger, right? Because it's very hard to make small incremental increases in your business. And this ends up taking more time and it's really less efficient than having that bigger perspective. You know, it's a framework overall for really ambitious goal setting and to really take bold action, right? And we're not meaning taking action that's uninformed or too much risk in it. We're talking about making the right decisions, and that's part of what today is. It really, the other thing it does, it really forces you to challenge your assumptions, right? We all have assumptions that exist, and we'll talk about biases and decision making a little bit later. But these are things we have to ask those questions to, right? Just doing something because you've been doing it for so long is not the right answer. So you need to go back and kind of re-examine those things. And again, the big part is to break away from that incremental thinking. You know, one step at a time is great, But if you could take a jump and get a lot farther with one action, it's a lot better in the long run. From the overall perspective, and I'm applying this thought process to the decision making, is there's kind of three things as like a theme to think about. The first being to think big and act decisively, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to get bogged down by the analysis paralysis, right? Thinking about too many things, needing more information. You need to make your decision and go with it, right? And of course, you're making it as informed as you are in the moment, but you can't look back, right? You have to go forward. If things don't go right, then you can learn and divert or change, but you need to, when you make a decision, you need to go with it, not kind of go half in, half out. Another aspect is to embrace calculated risk. Right. If we're going to grow a business, or if we're going to grow even ourselves personally, we need to make those steps outside of our comfort zone. And I know that's a scary place to be, but you have people that help support you through that. And by being informed and learning what we're talking about today will really help you to make those right decisions, where being outside your comfort zone isn't as scary as maybe it was before, because you know, going through the process, you've made the right decision. And, you know, there's always potential risk with everything we do. So that's part of the consideration that goes on. Right. And then, you know, the focus really on all these decisions you're making, whether it's your personal life, your business life, or your organization, for your team, you really need to be focused on the long-term game, right? You have to avoid those short-sighted decisions, because then you're really reacting in the moment and putting out fires, so to speak, that we know happen all the time. But what this does, it prioritizes a quick fix versus a choice that supports long-term sustainable growth. So, you know, those are kind of the three key themes when we talk about converting to 10X decision-making to help you move forward.
I like that. And I especially like thinking about, you don't have to be, you know, monetarily a 10X, but you have to think like a 10X. And I always, you know, I always like that concept, because I would always, you know, tell people, you know, think like you're a $1 million business. So what would a $1 million business do? And when you start to put that mindset in your head, you start to make decisions differently, and you start to, you know, you're no longer like looking on the, you know, on the low end, but you're thinking on a much higher end, you know, and that goes all the way around, from the way you run your business, from your branding to everything you do. You know, if you have that mindset of a $1 million business, you're going to probably reconstruct almost your entire business if you keep that mindset in your head, and eventually it will pay off.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really funny how that works when it comes to time management. You really think sometimes, if you're taking that mindset of thinking yourself as a $1 billion business, that you're going to need more time to do everything. Right.
Yeah.
But it really has the opposite effect, right? By becoming focused and making these better long-term decisions, it actually becomes more of a time saver, which again is a little bit disproportionate to what you would think, but that's truly what it does. And I know, again, you know, creating something 10 times what it is today, you know, that can seem really daunting, right? It's kind of like telling someone, hey, I got to lose 30 pounds, right? That sucks. It's hard, right? It's a lot of steps in between. But if you really focus it, and again, that's the same, when we're talking about that decision-making too, it's the same process, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes, even though you're 10X focused, you only have to really think about making yourself 1% better every day to achieve that. And when you think about that, that seems really small. It seems doable, right? Hey, Stacy, do you think you can get 1% better today? Right. Yeah, that seems pretty easy. I just do maybe one thing different. But those add up over time, which people kind of forget.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a great point. You know, you only have to make small tweaks, and eventually it all builds up. And then before you know it, you've made a lot of changes in your business, and it's still going to start showing, and you're going to start improving overall in many different areas as well.
Yeah. And again, that's all comes down to decision making. Like you said, when you think about yourself as a $1 million business, you become a $1 million business, and you're making those decisions based on being a $1 million business versus being a $100 business.
Yeah.
And it's a huge difference. And again, we're just talking about changing something 1%, but it's that mindset of what that decision is that makes all the difference.
100%. Now, what are other key factors when it comes to decision making that people should keep in mind?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest thing is to understand, kind of like everything when we're looking at data and making, decisions in life or analyzing anything, is there's always bias built in, right? And there's a lot of bias when it comes to decision making. And there's sometimes a combination of these, and there's sometimes one versus something else. So there's four that I want to talk about today. First one being confirmation bias, right? What that is you seek out information that confirms your existing beliefs, right? So, if you have a new product and you think it's going to have this great positive output, and we do this with our internet searches too sometimes, right? If we're looking for information, we're going to find it. So if you're focused on something that you think is true and you're looking at more information to prove that you're right, you're going to find it. So this is something in decision making you see all the time. You see executives use this because
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hey, I think this is the right thing to do because I read this one article that said to do this, right? This is how I improve. And that's not always the case. So that's one form that we see that comes into play a lot. Second being anchoring bias, which kind of think of your boat in the water, right? As soon as you set that anchor off, you're there, right? You're shut down, not moving. And anchoring bias is an over-reliance on whatever that first piece of information you hear is, right? You see this a lot when you're, looking for a house or even car shopping, right? The first thing you hear really sticks. And that becomes the thing that you go off of over and over again. Another way we see this in business, when you're talking with one of your suppliers or hiring somebody or even being hired, right? As an employee being hired, whatever, when you're talking about like salary negotiation or a price of anything, whatever that first number is thrown out there, that becomes the anchor, right? But the anchor could be completely incorrect, right? So you could go into a job thinking that you're going to, make $100,000, and the anchor they threw out there is 60. Well, now most people are negotiating off of 60 instead of resetting that anchor. So the same thing happens in business with your vendors, right? Just think about those conversations maybe you've had over the last week, and think about was there something thrown out there right away that then became the center of the conversation versus exploring everything else? So that's the second one. A third one is just, typical loss aversion, right? Where the fear of the loss outweighs the potential gains, right? If this doesn't work, what's going to happen? Well, I lose money, this happens, all that's there. But there, you also have to, no risk, no reward, right? And no decision is ever 100% foolproof. Even the easiest decisions at time are not 100% foolproof. So this is always going to come into play. I see a lot of businesses do this when kind of they avoid bringing new technology into the business, because, hey, something's going to be a little bit different. Maybe it doesn't work as well. Let's just stick with what we have, right? But the benefit of implying a new, putting in a new tech system is going to far outweigh what that risk is. But sometimes people are so focused on the loss. And it's tough. I mean, we all do this in our lives, right? It's something easy to gravitate to because sometimes you just feel like status quo is better than potentially going backwards. But sometimes to get 5 steps forward, you got to risk maybe going 1 step back. So important part. The last one is one that, election is coming up, and you see this in government all the time, right? The sunk cost fallacy, right? So what this is you continue to invest in something that's not working because you've already spent money on it or resources or time, right? I can't say how many times this happens, right? You any time in business, even in your own life, right? You've put money into something, and even though it doesn't work the way you want, or maybe the outcomes aren't there, oh shoot, I already spent money on it. I just got to keep going with this. Like, I've already put so much time and effort into this. If I turn around, it seems like I'm quitting. It seems maybe I'm seems like I'm giving up or I wasted money. But again, a lot of times, if you keep doing this, well, I'm not going to say a lot of times, all the time, if you keep doing this, this is worse. So I see these four things coming into play all the time in businesses, and I'm sure you see it too, working with personal clients.
No, a lot of people, they because they've invested so much time into either a software, a person, a product. It after spend so much time to build it to a certain length, and then all of a sudden it's really hasn't been bringing in the company a lot of profit. It's hard sometimes to let go because they've invested all this time. But if you continue, most likely you're just gonna it's gonna you're gonna continue to lose money on it. So you have to really step back and think, is this really worth it? Is it has it helped me since I started? And then look at things on a more realistic basis.
Yeah, you wouldn't keep fixing a car that keeps breaking down when it costs you more to fix it than it would be to buy a new one. So it's the
Exactly.
same principle to think about. And again, I know sometimes those the next step costs are high and a little bit hard to swallow, but when you really look back at what's going on versus what can be, it really paints a more clear picture.
Definitely, definitely. 100%. Now, were there any other specifics for key decision making that you felt were really important to talk about?
Yeah,
Did
I
I
think it's
make you?
important that we just kind of roll through the biases to just, make people aware of them. It's kind of like taking the blinders off a little bit. I do see four common mistakes that companies make. Obviously, those biases kind of reflect in these. But these are they're also a little bit different things. So the first thing I see is they really fail to define clear objectives, right? What are you trying to gain out of this decision you're making? What's the clear purpose? And what previously has led to whether it's scattered results or wasted efforts and resources, right? So, I think you see this a lot in marketing campaigns from you're launching a new campaign without really defining what you're going after, right? Are you looking for brand awareness, lead gen, sales, right? Having that focus helps you make that decision better. A lot of businesses are just like, no, we got to do marketing, right? We just got to put it out there. But if you're not focused on a particular objective that you're trying to solve, improve, you're not going to get the results you want. And that's, again, where we come back to those wasted resources and not being efficient with it. So that's the one thing we see. The second is really ignoring data and in insights, as I can try to get that out and say it. A lot of times, and again, sometimes it's the right thing to do, but a lot of times people and business leaders rely on their gut versus data-driven analysis, right? And I'm not saying it's fully data-driven, right? Because there is a component. Sometimes you got to go on a hunch, or sometimes if something doesn't feel right, you got to go in that direction. You got to, learn what your body's saying because that's intelligent too. But you also have to take in the insights of what's going on. I'm going to steal an example from sports because that's a heavy my background. You see this going on in baseball today. Everything's about metrics, right? And what does the data say? And shifting players to certain spots because hitters hit that way, or what pitcher you're going to bring in based on metrics, right? This is something that, again, we all know in business, businesses that have been around forever used to just go on gut feelings all the time. And they've gotten smarter over time with their different analyses and bringing in data and even bringing in people to help them make those decisions. The smaller businesses may not have the data or may not have good data, right? So they're trying to figure out how to do that, but they're just making gut decisions. And that sometimes leads to, again, when you roll into those four biases we just talked about, that's when the decision making falls off. So you get poor decision making that way. A third one that we see all the time is lack of communication and alignment, right? Businesses, unfortunately, a lot of times, and this is what I help to break down too, is decisions are made in silos, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's the C-suite making the decision, whether it's one department making a decision, when these are made in isolation,
Yeah.
once that gets communicated out to the bigger group, it really, it just creates confusion and hinders execution, right? Because no one knows where in the world this came from.
Right.
A lot, I've seen this a lot in my past between sales and say the tech team or product team, right?
Yeah.
Where sales is going out there, doing their thing, selling something to the client. Product
Yeah.
team is working on improvements that they feel are necessary. But the problem is the clients don't want that.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of bad decision making there, wasted efforts and time again. The fourth one we talked about a little bit with that risk aversion and that loss aversion, but
Yeah.
overlooking opportunity costs, right?
Right.
Considering, well, not considering really the potential benefits of making these alternative choices.
Right.
Because again, sometimes, again, like that old car, right? You got to keep fixing it and you got to keep putting oil in it because there's an oil leak and you're spending money. So if I don't make the decision to f either fix the car the way it should be fixed or get a new car, I still
Yeah.
have to keep spending money doing that other stuff. And
Right.
you're wasting money and resources by not doing that. So that's from the opportunity costs. And sometimes it's not that, right? Sometimes it's hey, if we were going to change this, we could potentially bring in more revenue, right?
Right.
If we scale the company, take the next steps, hey, we can have 100x on our revenue,
Yeah.
which improves our profit, what we're paying everybody, and all of those things. So not making those steps, you miss out on those things sometimes.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Definitely. I feel like it's really important, to keep track of these things. So I think sometimes people also, when it comes to decision making, keeping track of data. I think sometimes, a lot of small businesses especially, they don't keep track of data, the way they should. And they're not looking at the metrics consistently, and they're not looking at their bookkeeping and numbers consistently. They show a lot of times that a lot of small businesses tend to be very bad when it comes to bookkeeping. They don't realize the importance of it, and that all interferes with your decision making too, I think.
Yeah, it definitely does. And that's a great point that you just made. Documenting it is huge, right? Even if you were to create a journal of your decisions,
Yeah.
and keep that and reflect back upon it at times, like just simple, like write the date, write what the problem was, the decision you made,
Right.
and some rationale as to why you did or didn't make the decision, right? And maybe every quarter look back and
Yeah.
see what held true and if your assumptions were right, and you can start to identify because, it's human nature. Typically, people have certain blinders on, and mine might be different than yours. So the
Yeah.
biases that are incorporated in my life are going to be different than in your life. But
Yeah.
if you're documenting these, you're right. You can start to figure out, hey, there's a pattern. I tend to overlook this. So that moving forward, you can spend a little extra or pause for a moment
Yeah.
and say, hey, let me kind of take a look at this quickly.
Right. Exactly. Now, are there other key components of business making when it comes to making decisions that companies tend to overlook, or they don't do, or they maybe make, previously over and over again?
Yeah, those are the ones I see over and over again that continue to happen between the biases and those last four that we talked about.
Yeah.
Now, I get the question then comes in, well, what do I do to make those better decisions, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot what I work with my clients as a fractional COO or strategic advisor. And here, these are some things that we look at, or I look at with the clients that I have to educate them on how to make the right decisions and how people listening to the show today can also start to implement some of these as well.
Yeah.
The first is strategic alignment, right? So adapting that 10x mindset, right? Clarifying those strategic objectives, like what is our company trying to get to the next 6 month, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, right? And develop a roadmap on how you're going to get there. And we all know things change over time. Technology changes, our thoughts change, our objectives change, but map those out. And really work as you divide that map, and also try to determine a plan of how to get there and what do we think could go wrong, right? What potential roadblocks come about, and start to develop those contingency plans ahead of time, right? Because as you all know, with any emergency preparedness, if you have a plan ahead of time, your chance of survival is much higher. And that's the same with your business, right? So developing that plan for if everything looks good, what does that look like? And developing that plan for the things that we can foresee that could go wrong. Yes. And again, we talk about AI a lot together. And this is something too that AI can help you. You can put your business plan in and ask it, you know, what are potential issues that we could come across? And have it make up some scenarios and go through that exercise of, okay, if this happens, here's the four steps we take, right?
Right.
And that's just effective planning. So having that strategic alignment, the roadmap, and what the risk could be, if you have that in front of you when you're making those decisions, you'll make much better decisions because you're not making them based solely on gut feeling. You're not making them on that incremental step up, right? You're thinking long term here. So that's item one. And there's four that we kind of go over here. The second, again, data-driven decision-making, right? You talked about this too. Let's implement KPIs, right? Key performance indicators, or whatever you want to call them. Everyone calls them something different, but what are the maybe three things that we have to keep our pulse on constantly with our business? And again, depending on the business, depends on what those are. It's not always sales, right? It could be something else that you know, hey, these are the magic three things, if we have happen, lead to increased revenue and increased profit. So keep your eye on those. Or these things can be measured daily or weekly versus longer term. And when these go off kilter, then we know our quarterly revenue has a chance of going off kilter too. So implementing those, and you know, analytics is important. Market research is important too, right? What are other companies in the same space doing? Whether they're doing it right or wrong. To get that idea. And again, the internet is a great resource. So that information's out there. So take some time and do that market research before going on that next journey and taking that next step to make that decision. Because that's going to help you, you know, gain that insight in the long run. Because again, we want to get away from making decisions in silos, right? That's why we add data. That's why we add outside insights. That's why we talk to people. And we want to get away from that process. And really, building that data-driven culture really obviously helps with data-driven decision-making, right? If you're asking your employees and your staff these questions about their data, that's going to create that culture where that becomes a normal process in what you do. The third of the four is optimizing the decision process, right? Create a structured and efficient process where you do these things. So step one in that is to define clear roles and responsibilities. I do have to say, again, I've worked with a lot of companies. Intel is one that has done this better than any other company that I went through, right? There's always a decision maker, and you can find frameworks out there on what works best from your company, but there's always one person responsible for making that final decision. And that's important as you go through. Again, it's not always the top of the organization, right? It might be who's responsible for that area or department or task that is making that decision, but you need to lay those out so that you don't have five people trying to make a decision and they all think they have the final answer. And then once someone doesn't disagree with it, then you have some distension in the organization, right? So that's important. Streamline those communication channels, right? You want to always be open and transparent with the process behind it. Why you're doing it, you know, why you came up with the decision, what data did you take in, what other thoughts did you take in. This will just help to build buy-in and really help sometimes, even if it's not the right decision, just the fact that people know that you went through a process and you were thoughtful in the approach. Sometimes that just makes all the difference in the world, because no matter how good you do these steps, how good you remove bias, right? You're not making the right decision all the time,
Right.
right? There's still going to be wrong decisions, and that's okay. And there's, like we said, there's different frameworks to utilize if you want, but I always say, figure out a process that works best for your company or yourself and make that the process, right? Don't try to fit a square peg in a round hole by taking something someone else has done. Do what's going to work for you. And the fourth we talked about already is just to really overcome the biases. Sometimes it's as easy as recognizing it could be there and having a discussion about it. Like, let's talk about sunk cost fallacy. Like, are we not making this decision because we've already spent resources on this, and talk through that, right? So those objective discussions can help, one, kind of flush through those things that you know are blind spots, but two, it can also, two, it promotes critical thinking, right? Three, it might spawn new ideas because now you've had a different discussion that you didn't have before. And the fourth thing, which is my favorite out of all of these as to why overcoming biases and having the conversation helps, is it creates a culture of psychological safety, right? If we can make sure everyone feels comfortable in expressing their opinions, even if they're objecting on what we're doing or they're different or they're pushback, right? Or devil's advocate, right? You hear all those terms thrown around. It's going to bring that wonderful culture into play. Where everyone feels safe to share it. And you're going to get the best decisions when everyone feels safe to share.
Oh, 100%. I think it's, if, you know, positive feedback and given being able to express your feedback to one another is very important. I think it's a critical role when it comes to being able to make good decisions within the workforce, because if you're not able to feel safe expressing your feedback or expressing your thoughts, then good decisions aren't going to come about, because you're not going to be able to, you're going to have that lack of communication, which is, it could be a very dreadful, you know, outcome at the end.
Yeah. And I was talking to a business owner earlier today, and that was one of their things that they talked about is, how do I grow a company fast, but at the same time, prevent these splinters in the company culture from happening, right? So this was a huge part of that, is understanding the decision-making process and how getting everyone involved in the communication of it is essential, because that way you build those trust bridges, right? And people feel, like we just talked about, people feel safe in the process, and you get more out of them that way, because you're showing them a level of trust and understanding, and they're showing it back to you. And, you know, we've talked about this on, I think, almost all of ours, how much people are at the center of all of this. Even though we talk about data-driven decisions, creating a process, right? People are still the center of all of this. And being able to pull a team together and make these right decisions, create that culture, is really what separates failing businesses sometimes from good businesses and great businesses, is just that culture and bringing people together. And the one thing that I really like from this business owner that I talked about today is he fully acknowledged, he said, hey, I know that I don't know everything, and I want to hire people in these other areas that would teach me how to do this, right?
Right.
And that, I don't hear that very often. And that was something that was very, you know,
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Showing on what a leader he is by saying those things, right? Because when he's going through his decision-making process, right, he's already established a process where I want the smartest people I can in the room to help make those decisions. So that carries through company culture, investment in your employees, and the loyalty you build too.
Right. 100%. And you know, I think it's important that leaders also try not to be bosses, but try to be mentors. And I think that that's a significant role that they have to undertake, I think.
Yeah, for sure. They do. They have to help everyone else grow. And the other problem, again, the same business leader I was talking about, right? He's looking to scale his company quickly because of the technology and the nature of the business. And one thing I talked to him about when it comes to scaling is whatever process, say, him and I are going to go through to make decisions on things, we can take that process and teach it to the next level of our team, right? The head of each department, how they go through decision making with us is the same. And then they bring that down to their team and they make decisions in the same way. So you have an entire company making decisions in the same way, which helps you scale faster and keep that consistency. And it also prevents that siloed approach and from people going rogue in how they're making their decisions, right? So it keeps everything together and it allows you to scale up and scale down very efficiently because, again, you know everyone's following the same process. So the other worry, and Stacey, I know you go through this too as a business owner, right? You can't make every decision, right? It's impossible and it's not sustainable long term. So there's to your team members need to make decisions on their own that's affecting your business and a part of the business. And you know what we talked about today is, hey, if we can teach people this process, then we know that they're being thoughtful about the approach, and that's all we can ask, right? They're still going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes, but the approach is there and it's thoughtful. So you're building up what they can do and empowering them over making those decisions too, which help the business owner be a little bit more sustainable, get to focus more on strategic initiatives versus, you know, doing the day-to-day things that they really shouldn't be doing.
100%, 100%. Yeah, I think those are all good points. I think, people have to keep that in mind too. I think these are, when it comes to decision making, also, I think you pointed out a very good point is that it can't just be the leader who makes all the decisions. He has to be able to take a, to teach and then take a step back and delegate and let his teammate members be competent enough to take what they learned, utilize it, and start making, some decisions for the company as a whole, because that's what's going to make the company grow, I think, quicker.
Yeah, exactly. And again, like if you're the business owner, you may not be the marketing expert. So to instill your trust in the team that you've brought in to do those marketing decisions, knowing that they're going through, you know, a process to get there is really helpful. It gives the business owner peace of mind as well.
Yes, 100%, 100%. Now, are there any other components that you find very beneficial for people to know when it comes to making decisions within the workforce or within the company?
Yeah, no, I think that's a lot covered, right? There's a lot of information in a little time, and I know I threw a lot out there. Again, I think the important part when you want to take a look at the big picture is understand, just put a process in place, right? When you're making decisions, take that 10x mindset because, again, it's going to be so much more advantageous in the long run. And again, I think, and I don't know, Stacey, you might remember this stat, but what 90% of businesses fail within the first 5 years or something like that, right? And that's part of it, right? Because they're making gut reactions and poor decisions and they have to go back. So put a process in place, teach that to your team, right? Teach that process so they can utilize the same process in what they do. And again, realize there's blind spots. And instead of ignoring them, just talk about them, right? Because that one gets it out there, and it builds that culture of psychological safety too. And it's amazing where something that you would take as very small, like a simple decision. And again, in our personal lives, I don't remember what the number is. We make thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of decisions a day. And of course, you're not going to go through all these when you decide, hey, you know, what pant leg do I put on first or what shirt am I going to wear, right? But when you're dealing with a business, these things are important. And sometimes the smallest decisions maybe have the larger impact because again, you create a decision in a silo and the spawn of what that has from questioning your leadership, putting a fracture in your organization, people not feeling safe sharing their opinion, it has a big, profound impact. So again, probably a really boring topic for a lot of people, decision making, but it has so much value in what you do day to day and so much value in ensuring your business can be successful.
I think especially with law firms, a lot of them are successful because they do a lot of group meetings where they welcome ideas into it. You know, what about this case? What do you think about this? You know, and other lawyers will input their input of what they think would be good for the case, and all those things are taken, and you know, and their thought or their plan changes, you know, according to like all the different ideas and what they think probably would be the best thing, because a lot of times one person can't think of every right decision to make. It's just virtually impossible. So when you have a group of people that can actually communicate and not be afraid to express their decisions and, you know, what they think would be good, you can really gain a strong workforce that actually can produce a lot of great things. And I think it's really important. All the factors you mentioned today, I think are really important things to keep in mind and also to put into your company and maybe change the way you're doing things, because you know, as time changes, so does, you know, everything else. And you know, the way you make decisions has to be changed too, because you know, we are a change in, you know, world, and you know, change is consistent, and you know, so sometimes our decisions have to change also.
Yeah, very well said. That's spot on the point. And you're right, it is a changing environment and it is dynamic. I say too, and I say this very affectionately because I feel I'm one of them, but I say when I'm making decisions and getting a team together, I really want to assemble the land of misfit toys, right? I want to get people from such different perspectives that whatever biases I have, the team around me sees those differently than I do. Right.
Yeah.
And their input and their angle that they look at things is so different than what I do. And that's really what makes a team strong and a decision strong. Right. I say look for your land of misfit toys when you're creating a team and making those decisions.
No, I agree with you. And you see, even today, like the younger generation, they come in with a totally different outlook, but a lot of their decisions are really good. And they see things from a totally different perspective than how we see things sometimes. And that could be for, you know, very good, but you know, that could work well in terms of business, you know, to be able to see it from different standpoints. And, you know, and a lot of times, you know, you have to just be open, you know, and I think sometimes, you know, that's a problem where people just, they're not open to change. They're not open to, you know, but it's when you're open to change and you're open to, like, you know, listen to others is when good things start happening for sure.
Yeah. If you're a plant living in darkness, you're not going to grow very big, right? But when you open yourself up to the world, it gives yourself that chance to grow and become a strong tree or a beautiful flower or whatever that is, for sure.
Yes, 100%, 100%. Now tell everybody about the different services that you provide.
Yeah, thank you. I do a couple different things, and of course those will change depending on the business and what needs are, but I tend to work from two different avenues. One is a fractional COO, especially with companies that are looking to scale. They don't always need that full-time COO support, right? Because they are scaling and growing, but they need someone to help with, like we talked about today, that strategic decision-making or company culture, or what are the steps to take, or operational improvements to take to get to that next step. So they can hire me at a fraction of what they normally would. COO. And of course, you're hiring someone as a fractional COO, you don't pay benefits too. So you're usually getting somebody with, you know, 30 to 40% of the costs of a full-time COO, but you're probably also getting someone with twice as much experience as you'd be able to afford in that role. So it's a win for the business because they get someone with that ability to make those strategic decisions with them and help educate them along the way so that they're not left behind. And it's not just a transactional thing, right? There's growth that goes on with this and learning. So I'll work with that capacity or just a strategic advisor. Or you can hire me to come in and we'll work on specific things together. Or even if it's just plug me into your quarterly meetings and let me listen, interact with you before and after, and maybe ask those questions to your team to kind of foster those growth. So those are the two main ways I work. Ultimately, I love solving problems and helping companies grow and scale. So that's usually the form it takes on.
I love it. Now, where can people find you?
Yeah, best place to look is adamsconsultingfirm.com. You can book a free consultation through there. You'll have links to my LinkedIn and email and all those things from there. Unfortunately, part of being named Scott Adams means it's hard to Google or just look on LinkedIn and find me. So adamsconsultingfirm.com is the best place to go.
I love it. Well, this has been amazing, Scott. You know, like always, it's great to talk to you. You have such great business advice. And I love today's conversation because, you know, decision making is so crucial when it comes to growing your business. And like you said, like 90% of the, you know, most businesses don't make it past the first 5 years, you know, so you really, you know, it tells you right then and there, you know, their decision making needs a little help, you know, a little tender love and care. But, you know, with the right help, the right person guiding you and showing you how to make decisions, you could have a thriving business and you know, things could turn around for companies very quickly. You know, it's amazing how, you know, I've seen companies go from struggling to thriving within a short period of time just by implementing some things, you know, some small changes into their company. So it's something that, you know, business owners and entrepreneurs don't have to give up hope if things aren't going, you know, 100%, because just, you know, talking to a professional and just getting the right guidance and them helping you, you know, develop a crucial plan and showing you how to do things differently can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I've worked and seen with companies that have gone from bankruptcy to multimillion-dollar profits in a year and a half, right?
Right.
And it is possible. There's many different ways. And like you said, those small changes and a small investment sometimes has huge gains that can really
Yes.
improve your trajectory of your business and your life as well.
100%. Well, this has been great, Scott. Thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really enjoyed today's talk, and I look forward to talking to you more in the future.
Yeah, the pleasure's all mine. Thanks for having me again, Stacey. Always a great
You're
time.
welcome. Yes, same here. You have a great day.
You too.